Blog Talk Radio.
Today, we are here for this edition of Christian Talk, and I am here with my lovely wife. Hello, Tasila. How are you today?
Hello. How are you? I'm doing very good. What about yourself?
Well, I'm doing great, and I hope you are as excited as I am about tonight's program.
Oh, my goodness. I cannot wait.
Yes.
I cannot wait.
This is what I want everybody to do right now. I would like you to pick up your phones or grab your computers, go to your inbox or text your family and friends and encourage them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537, or just click on the picture of T. Meyer and Tasila or the link wherever you see our posts for this particular show if you choose to listen from your computer, okay? So just do that, and you'll see our posts pretty much everywhere, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Okay, just click on the link or just click on our picture if it's Facebook, okay? Also, we've got something new we want to tell you guys. We are on TV now, hsbn.tv. The name of the program is The Message of Life, hosted by T. Meyer and Tasila McCain, TMT, okay? And it's every Tuesday at 2 p.m., every Tuesday, and you'll be able to see it on other social media platforms because it's all over the place. This program will be all over the place. We're talking Amazon, iHeartRadio. We're talking, everything, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You name it. We're everywhere with this program, okay? And you can tune in anytime during the week. But we will have our shows on Facebook. It'll be Tuesdays at 2 p.m., okay? And then everywhere else after that. So it's no telling where it'll be. And also, if you are looking for a place to worship, we would like for you to come and worship with us. Yes, come and worship with us. We're located at 869 North Euclid Avenue. That's 869 North Euclid Avenue, and we are in Upland, California. So you can't miss it. We're near 11th Street for some of you who are familiar with Upland. That's where we are. And also we start our services in the afternoon. It's 1:30 in the afternoon. Ooh. So isn't that wonderful? and you get a chance to sleep in on Sundays and can just come on and worship with us. If you're in the California Inland Empire area, just come on and visit us at 869 North Euclid Avenue, Upland, California, 91786. Services start at 1:30 p.m., okay? All right, so you know something? I got something I want to play for you, and I think you're going to like this song. I know when you heard it before, you liked it. This is our buddy El Jerome Battle. He's singing Perfect Love, and we would like we know you.
Of love so perfect, well let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love. Would you like to know his love is perfect? Well let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love.
That love's so
'cause he knows what I feel inside.
He touches places
I try so hard to hide.
Those broken spaces
that once made up my life.
Love lifts the darkness
with his overwhelming light. Perfect love. Perfect love, God is, he is perfect love, perfect love. Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love.
Would you like to know his love is perfect?
Well, let me introduce you to a perfect kind of love.
His love is so perfect,
'cause he gave and restored my life. He won my battle and my fight.
Those fallen moments
when I thought I would not survive.
His love protects me,
failing at no time.
Perfect love.
God is.
right. You are listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, also known as TNT. Look out, everybody. We're dynamite. TNT.
Oh,
and, you know,
God.
We're going to we're going to have a great time today. Wait a minute. Hold on. What? Wait. Hold on. Hey. What that means. Come on, regular listeners, you know exactly what's going on. When you hear that music, that means it is it's absolutely time for a TNT moment. And well, Pastor Tasila, what are we talking about today?
Well, I want to talk about a little bit about that song you just put on. That is just great for this particular question, the perfect love of Christ, because we're talking that was beautiful, and I know that was Holy Spirit led, because we're talking about who is the bride of Christ, one of
the
my
bride
favorite
of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you are, if you love them, and I know you do.
Yes.
And I'm sure that the Lord loves you, but how can you not love him? I mean, my goodness. Well, I'm going to start off still. Who is the bride of Christ? In the book of Revelation 19:7, it says, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and the bride has made herself ready." You know, this relationship between God the Father and his church is so, so, so uniquely beautiful. Just as a husband and a wife are to be one flesh, this is the same analogy as Christ and the church. And a lot of people get saved just to be saved from hellfire or just to receive answers to their prayers. But the true lovers of God, I'm talking about the true lovers.
Yes.
The perfect ones. The ones that God is going to make perfect through his perfect love.
Mm-hmm.
The true lovers love him for who he is, not for what they can receive from him. A matter of fact,
right.
They can care less to even ask him of anything for themselves. They're always praying for others. Just to be in his presence is rewarding enough for them. This is a free will love affair. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2:32, the Lord, he asked a question. He says, can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me, days without number. The ornaments of the bride is the putting on of Christ. If you forget God, then how can you be dressed properly? You can't even do church. I mean, I don't understand how a lot of people go in and out and do a lot of activities without the Lord. And he's saying, how could you forget me? You know, the gifts are from his Holy Spirit. The bride, she is the Shulamite lover, and she is the one who is matured and stand united with Christ. When the going gets tough, she stands and says, where would I go? You alone are my life and my breath, and he is her bridegroom lover. They have communication, they have fellowship, and their spirits are combined, and they both say come as one unit. And in the end part of Revelations, it says the Spirit and the bride says come because they are one unit. These are God's covenant keepers. Why? Because they keep God in high esteem. They are in awe of him and in reverence and in love with him. And they keep the secrets of the Lord. These are they that understand that they must grow into the fullness of the stature of Christ. They must undergo a full Holy Spirit transformation. These are they that have found themselves in the secret place of the Lord, because they spend time with him. And from that place, they're speaking the oracles of God, allowing Christ's mind to be in them. They live in the reality of their regeneration, their new birth, and Christ mm-hmm. Jesus. They're cherishing their growth, their progress, and changes, and awaiting the coming of their bridegroom lover. These are God's faithful virgins, his hidden ones, his bride. In the book of John 17, Jesus prayed such a beautiful prayer to the Father. And he said, "For the very glory you have given to me, I have given to them, so that they will be joined together as one and experience the same unity that we enjoy."
Right.
He goes on to say something so very deep. He says, "You live fully in me, and I now live fully in them." That's the church. You're his temple. You're his body.
Yes.
Jesus prayed to the Father for the Shulamite bride, his church. Mm-hmm. He said that they may be one with us, even as we are one. "For your love will live in them, even as I live in them." Do you know Christ is in you? Do you cherish that, that body, knowing that Christ lives in it? There you have it. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I know these are hard sayings. I know it is. Yeah. Just like the saying, "If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, then you will have life in you." And then we all got adjusted to taking communion. We kind of figured out what Jesus is saying. But Christ in the church body is easily accepted when you say he's at church and he's in the body of Christ and he's with us all, when people look at it like that. But what about Christ in you personally?
Yes.
I use words like when I'm talking, like union and oneness. What about you being the temple of the Lord? Yes. Your body being his workstation. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Your body being Christ's workstation. I love that. I know that in the book of Solomon, we see Jesus as our bridegroom lover, and we see how the communication between him and his bride. In Solomon 6:4, he says, "Oh, my beloved, you are lovely. When I see you in your beauty, I see a radiant city where we will dwell as one." It is the New Jerusalem. It is the city where God and man live together. It is the city where God and man dwell in holy union as one. Just like Jesus prayed in John 17, it goes on to say that even the host of angels stand in awe of you. He's not talking about the Lord. He's talking about the church. He says, "Even the host of angels stand in awe of you." 1 Peter 1-10, even angels want to know. Want to know what? The glories that follow the Shulamite bride, the gift of salvation by Jesus, her bridegroom lover, the grace, the love, the mercy, the faith that completes her full transformation. Jesus says in Solomon 6:8, "I could have chosen any from the vast multitudes of royal ones that follow me." In Hebrews, it means I could have chosen 60 queens, 80 brides, and an endless number of women, but one is my beloved dove.
Yes.
She's my beloved dove, unraveled in beauty, without equal, beyond compare, the perfect one, the favorite one. Others see your beauty and sing of your joy. Brides and queens chant your praise. How blessed is she? Remember how we spoke last week about you being God's lights? We went through a whole sermon telling you guys how each one of you, Christ is in you, and you are God's lights. But he continues to say, "Look at you now, because the fullness of that light starts off little, It gets brighter and brighter and brighter. And mm-hmm. he continues, and Solomon said to say, look at you now, arising as the day spring of the dawn, fair as the shining moon, bright and brilliant as the sun and all its strength. Remember how I told you that the bride and the army are the same? He continues to say, you are astonishing to behold as a majestic army, waving banners of victory, because his banner over us is his love. The bridegroom speaks, then the Shulamite speaks. It's a language of deep love. We are one spirit with our King. You have become the Shulamite, the bride of Christ. And I pray that each and every person realize who they are in the Lord. Take your position. Stand guard. Put your full armor on so that you will be able to fight and call those things that are not as though they were. You have some great authority that God has given to you in your hand. You are the Shulamite. Right, Pastor T?
That's absolutely right. Hey, listen, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. And I'm going to share something with you, Pastor Tosila, when we get back. So don't go away, everyone. You're going to want to hear that.
I know. I'll be here.
So now
are listening to Christian Talk with T. Meyer and Tasila, TNT. And, you know, Pastor Tasila, we were talking about the Bride of Christ. Who is the Bride of Christ? And, you know, I just wanted to point something out here. And when you check, when you actually count the generations that leads to Jesus Christ in the book of Matthew, you know how he goes through the generations, it says that there's 40, it says that there's 42 generations. But if you literally count the generations, that's right there in the Bible, if you literally count the generations, you will come up with 41. I did that like three times because I wanted to make sure, you know, but you will actually come up with 41 generations. Why? What is the Holy Spirit trying to tell us? It is only 41 generations because Jesus hasn't married his bride yet. He's ready to marry his bride, and he hasn't married his bride yet. The connection between Jesus and his bride is what brings forth that 42nd generation. Jesus was crucified. He was cut off. Therefore, the question was asked, who shall declare his generation? Isaiah prophesied about that. Isaiah 53, verses 7 and 8. He was oppressed. He was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? If he was cut off, who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. But praise God. It's one thing that Isaiah didn't quite mention in this scripture is that he rose again. He's alive. He is alive now, and he is searching for his bride. It is time for Jesus to be married. It is when Jesus Christ becomes one with his remnant bride that the 42nd generation will be seen. And Jesus is looking forward to marrying his last day golden seven church, his perfect seven church in this hour. You know, the Lord has given us many types and shadows of his bride in the Old and New Testament. For example, Rebecca was a type of the bride of Christ. She was clothed with jewels, if you can remember, when you read about it. When Abraham sent his, when he sent his servant to his kindred to find a wife for his son Isaac in Genesis 24, verses 1 through 4. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, he said to him, put, I pray you, your hand under my thigh. Now, this was customary in those days when you were to make an oath or to promise someone that you will do this or do that for them, you know. And he says, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites. That is to say he don't want him to take a wife from non-believers, people of the world.
Or unequally yoked.
People that are unequally yoked. Right. You have to be careful about that. He says, among whom I dwell. He was around people that were non-believers. But he says, but you shall go. He said, you shall go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. In this story, Isaac was a type of Jesus, the Son of God, and Abraham was a type of the Father, and his servant was a type of the Holy Spirit. He equipped his servant with jewels and all kinds of costly array. Verse 10, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, of Abraham's camels, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. He went bearing gifts. The servant went bearing gifts just like the Holy Spirit comes to us bearing God's gifts. He bears gifts. He brings gifts when he comes to us. Verse 53, and the servant brought forth jewels. He brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment, meaning clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He found Isaac's bride. Rebekah is a type of the bride of Christ. As the servant, and the servant, a type of the Holy Spirit, he covered her with gifts, with jewels, just like Jesus covers his bride with jewels. Why is it that you, that women, that, that people are so drawn to jewelry, to jewels? It's because that was part of our covering in the beginning. When the Lord created Adam and Eve, he created Adam and Eve from the dust of the ground. But that was good dirt. It was good dirt. It was mingled with gold and silver and all kind of precious jewels was in the dirt when he created Adam. So that's why we're drawn to jewels, because that was once part of our covering. You know, Jesus covers his bride with jewels. When one of the seven angels showed John the Revelator, the Lamb's wife, he said, come up hither, come up higher. I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. He showed him a city made of jewels. Revelation chapter 21, verses 10 and 11. And he carried me away in the spirit to a high and to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. He was describing her. You see, even Rebecca's family, they asked her, will you follow this man? And she said, yes, I will go. She said, I'll follow him. She answered the call. That servant was like a type of the Holy Spirit. He went out, and she answered the call, just like the call for the bride of Christ is going out in this hour. Even you, everyone that's listening to me, the call is going out right now in this hour, and only the true believers, which will be a small remnant at first, understand that. It'll be a small remnant at first. But they will multiply. We will multiply. They will answer the call first, and then they will multiply. Only a remnant answers God's call, because they are the ones that have an ear to hear. Only a remnant obeys his commands when the Lord sends his word out. Did you know that? Out of all Christianity, only a remnant truly, truly answers his commands, answer his call. Therefore, the remnant that obeys and answer the call are the ones that are counted in the number of the bride. Remember, Pastor Tassila, remember when the Lord told his disciples to go to the city of Jerusalem and wait until you are endued with power from on high? He told that while he was talking to 500 people when he said that. He told 500 people to go to the city of Jerusalem and wait there until they are endued with power from on high. But guess what? Only 120 were obedient, and they received the power. Out of 500 people, only 120 actually obeyed him and went to the city of Jerusalem, and they received the power. And then after that, they multiplied. You see, the bride of Christ is a remnant, a small group of people who answers the call and who are obedient to the leading of the Spirit. And then once they answer the call, they begin to multiply. Rebecca's family blessed her and said these words to her in Genesis 24:60. He said, they blessed Rebecca and said unto her, thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands. They pronounced a blessing upon her, of thousands, of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Well, the bride of Christ has a blessing upon them in this hour. We are blessed as well. We will bring in thousands and millions. We will bring millions of souls into the kingdom realm of God in this hour.
Amen.
You see, there's so many types and shadows. I could go on and on. Yeah, like Ruth, for example. And I'm going to end with Ruth. Okay, Ruth is also a type of the bride of Christ. You know, after Ruth's husband died, Boaz was her nearest kinsman, okay, nearest to her husband. So he was considered a nearest kinsman. Therefore, he was considered to be her kinsman redeemer. What does that mean? That means that he was to marry her and take care of her. He became her redeemer. Ruth 3, chapter 3, verse 9. And Boaz, because Naomi told Ruth to go and lay, because she was working in his field. And when they went to sleep, she told him to go lay at his feet. And so she obeyed Naomi. That was her mother-in-law. And she went and laid at Boaz's feet. And then he woke up, and Boaz said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your handmaid. Spread, therefore, your skirt over your handmaid, for you are my near kinsman." His skirt was his mantle. And when a man in those days put his mantle over a woman, that means that he has chosen her to be his wife. Jesus puts his mantle upon his bride, and that mantle is the Holy Spirit, which means that he has made the choice to be our kinsman redeemer. Jesus Christ is our redeemer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He is our redeemer. Don't go away, everybody. We'll be right back. Here's our buddy Freddie Lee.
It's freedom, it's freedom.
Myron Tasila, and we're back with our special guest, Miss Kimberly Brown. Oh, man, how are you, Kimberly? How are you doing?
Hello. Hello, I'm doing fine.
Hi.
How are you all doing? I'm glad to be
we're
here.
We're so happy.
Honored.
Oh, and we are happy to have you on the show and excited to hear your story. But first, let me tell the people a little bit about you. Okay, Kimberly Brown was destined to be a singer. For more than 40 years, she has been singing her heart out as a music lover from a very early age. She was fascinated with all kinds of music. She pressured her parents to buy Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head by B.J. Thomas. This was the beginning of a whole new world. Kimberly began singing at her father's church at the age of 7, and her love has always been Christian / gospel music, music that inspires. As a former, and check this out, as a former member of the 3-time Grammy award-winning group Sounds of Blackness, for 15 years, she toured around the world, Brazil, Switzerland, Japan, Mexico, London, and so on, et cetera. Kimberly has worked with many national artists, including Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, okay, Stevie Wonder, CeCe Winans, one of my favorites, Quincy Jones, Take Six, Fred Hammond, Kenny G, Luther Vandross, Daryl Hall, you know, of Hall & Oates, John Cougar Mellencamp, and many others. She works extensively in her local industry as a songwriter, a singer, director, vocal coach, speaker, and as director of music ministry in her local church, First Trinity Church of God in Christ in Fridley, Minnesota. She also directs the fellowship choir for the Minnesota Second Ecclesiastical Fellowship, a Church of God in Christ. Kimberly describes herself as ordinary, but she's actually quite extraordinary. She has won several awards, including Citizenship and Discipleship Awards, Minnesota Jurisdictional Woman of the Year Award, First Trinity Church Music Director Award, and an American Heart Association Volunteer Appreciation Award. Kimberly has a heart for PKs. You know what that is, pastor's kids, as she is one herself. Kimberly is a loving wife and mother, and credits her parents, Overseer and Mrs. Henry Brown, for their firm foundation and her solid Christian values. She is very committed to volunteerism and gives of her time, talent, and finances to support various charities. Everyone, let's welcome Kimberly Brown.
Yay!
Yay! You hear the people, right?
Yay! Oh, yeah. Oh, goodness. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Oh, my goodness.
You read it all.
You really, you have such a vast, your resume is beautiful. You know you've done all those things.
I've had a full life and a busy life, and I walk every day in expectation of more. How about that?
Amen.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, take us back. Tell us, bring us up to date. How you got started, how the Lord worked in your life. As far back as you can tell us.
Starting at seven, you were at church singing. That's what the story I want to hear.
At seven, I was singing in front of people, but by the age I could talk, I was singing. I'll put it like that. But at seven, I had my first solo, six or seven, my first solo with the Sunshine Band, junior choir, at youth choir at our church. And then, you know, my dad would get invites to go preach at different places, and my mom, who can sing, won't. And so I just remember one day and her said, if I teach you a song, would you sing before dad preaches? And I said, of course. Mm-hmm. And she was like, aren't you scared to go out there in front of all those people? I'm scared of what? So she taught me a song, and that's kind of where my, you know, solo, sermonic solo, you know, singing before he preached, started. And that's kind of how I got in front of a microphone. In the church where I have remained, let me say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God is good.
Yeah, God is good. So through my high school years, I sang in choir and at churches and in the choirs and stuff. But when I graduated high school, and I graduated 17, I turned 18 that August, and that October my mom said, hey, there's this community choir that's taking auditions, and since you love to sing so much, this might be a good fit for you. It's called Sounds of Blackness, and, you know, that would be, you know, more cultural stuff for you. I kind of grew up in the suburbs. I was the minority at school. Church was black, but, you know, I kind of lived in two worlds. And she said, I think this would be good for you. I think this would be good for you. I had no idea what I was walking into or going to, but when I got there and I auditioned with the Gary Hines, he was awesome and amazing, and I passed my audition, and he said, come to rehearsal this Tuesday and, you know, start your journey with us. And I loved it. And so God opened that door for me at a young age.
For those who don't know, can you tell them some of the songs that Sounds of Blackness had, the hits that they had out?
The hits in my era, we're going back to, what, the 90s, early 2000s?
It isn't. We're still playing them.
Thank You, I'm Going All the Way, We Give You Thanks, The Harder They Are, The Bigger They Fall, Joy, from the we did a lot of movie soundtracks. That was from the movie Mo Money. We did a lot of stuff with the Batman soundtrack and a couple of other soundtracks.
Mm.
But, those were some of the bigger hits, I think, we did. Optimistic being, you know, the song of all times would be Optimistic, for sure.
And which ones did you get the Grammys for?
We got the Grammys for The Evolution of Gospel, which was the first one. And then we got one for our Christmas project. And then we got one later with the Quincy Jones Handel's Messiah project. Soul Holidays,
beautiful.
You know, Christmas project. That was kind of popular. But we did the Handel's Messiah with Quincy Jones and all the artists, kind of like a We Are the World, urban version of Handel's Messiah. So that was a great experience.
I love that project. Yeah, that was a beautiful project.
And then we had our own song on there too, called For Unto Us. So each artist kind of had, well, not each artist, but a lot of the artists also had a single on that project. So. We were blessed.
Right, right.
I was blessed to be a part of it. You know, God just opened doors and he blessed me. I can only give him credit for the wonderful things that I've experienced. Those 15 years, I traveled a lot. I learned a lot, sang a lot, you know, got to meet some wonderful people, got to meet some people that I always admired, got to, you know, find out the good, the bad, and the ugly of touring and traveling and, you know, the cutthroatness of the music business. It's, you know, it's present. But overall, I had a wonderful experience. And in 96, my mom got sick with lymphoma. I had just gotten married in 95. And we kind of went through about a year off and on with her cancer, then being in remission. And so I took a leave of absence from the group. And during that time, being with her, I just kind of started thinking, wow, I don't know. I can't do both of these. And again, God started dealing with me. And if I was honest with myself, I said, you know, I've done pretty much everything you can do in with this group other than being the lead singer, which I knew I wouldn't be. But I think God was then saying, it's time. It's time for you to step out. Step out of your box, out of your comfort zone. And it was still about another year before I left the group. And in that time, I did a demo, kind of started working on a project. My mom got better. It has been well over 20 years. God is good. Matter of fact, it's probably close to 30 than 20. She's alive and well. She started a prayer ministry, co-wrote some songs on my first project. I think I know he used that situation to get me to step out because I would have never left. You know, I just would have been there. And that's how I got solo. So I went solo in 99. So 84 to 99, I was with the group. And still to this day, great friends, great relationships with a lot of members, especially the ones in my era, you know, the turned over, the personnel turned over. It's newer now a lot. There's a few veteran members still there. But with Gary Hines, still an amazing talent, an amazing gift, an amazing person. So I was blessed to be the Super Bowl 2018 when it came to Minnesota. We got back together, some of the veteran members of the group, and Terry Lewis came, and we got to be part of the Super Bowl festivities right here in the Twins. So.
Oh, that's cool. That was good. That's cool. You know, I wanted to ask you, too, at what age did you personally give your heart to the Lord? Tell us about that. I know
you
were raised in the church.
Ask me that. I was. And I grew up, man, this might not sound good, but I grew up always loving God. I grew up, you know, in that Christian home, in that Christian family where you pray before meals and you go to church and you do all those things. I knew I was blessed, and I've always loved him. I remember one day hearing, but if you haven't confessed your sin, if you haven't given your heart to him, I heard it a lot, but I guess I was like always, you know, I'm already in family. But I remember being about 12 years old at school. An evangelist came and he said, everybody was going to do the sinner's prayer. If you haven't really done this before and committed, I'm going to ask you to do it now. And I did it then. And I've just loved him more and more every day.
Amen.
So I was young. I was preteen.
Still.
And you said in my introduction 40 plus years, but it's actually 50 plus years now. I have to update that in my. In my bio, I've been singing 50-plus years, so I'm a little older than it would have me appear to be. I'll put it like that. But,
Well, you've been doing it for the Lord for a long time. So, you know, lifting him up. And that's what it's about.
Too far to turn around.
Right. And that's what musicians are to do. Christian musicians, we bring the people into the presence of the living God. That's our job. so that we sing to touch the heart of God, so that God can touch the hearts of the people. So that's,
absolutely,
that's,
and I tell people all the time, they ask me questions about the genres of music, and I say, well, you know, this requires a lifestyle, and there is an expectation attached
mm-hmm.
to gospel music and to Christian music. It's not just singing country or R&B or jazz. There is an expectation with this, and in order for God
mm-hmm.
to use those of us to the fullest and maximize that, we have to empty out ourselves and be those vessels so that he can pour through us. Because really, it's his spirit, it's his anointing that's touching hearts and that's breaking yokes and lifting heavy burdens. We are the vessel.
Amen.
And I'm honored to be a vessel. Honored
Amen.
To be a vessel.
Amen.
Absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
That's right. And so,
Kimberly,
when you were out, I wanted to ask you, we both want to ask you, you know, it was a lot of, how many people was in the choir when you all were traveling?
Well, let me say this, it was a 40 member group, but we had an entourage of 22 that traveled, and that was including vocalists and a full band. We had a full band, three boards.
Mm.
A guitar player, a bass player, a drummer, and a percussionist. And sometimes we had a horn section that would come
mm-hmm.
with us too, but we had soprano, alto, tenor, and bass. So 22. And those 22 traveled, you know, across the water, across the air, Europe and Brazil. It was a full group traveling. So,
oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That was like
we
a family.
A tour group. Oh, most definitely. When you go out with people for months at a time and, you know,
yeah.
you're in the same vehicle and you're doing shows night after night after night after night, you better get along. you better love each other and be respectful.
I was out there.
But
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. We were pleasantly caught off guard when our first project came out and we got the call. From the Luther Vandross camp that he wanted us to open for his upcoming Love Power tour. And so that was the first, you know, I feel like real or professional, you know, in the business tour that we did, and how amazing that the first real thing we did was so massive, you know, and
right.
with a legendary superstar. Because that's certainly, you know, what he was. And so we were blessed.
And you guys did a lot of TV appearances also.
You have a great memory. We did the Today Show and the Tonight Show and the Grammys and the Stellars. And we, you know, we go to Houston and do Good Morning Houston or Good Morning Chicago or all of the TV shows. You're absolutely right. We did a lot of TV shows. A lot of movie soundtracks. And then productions like, I don't know if you remember Comic Relief, you know, those kind of shows, Billy Crystal, Whoopi Goldberg, we did stuff like that too. So very, very blessed. We were blessed. And the one thing I really love about the group is that we're a black music group, and of course gospel and Christian is in our culture, is in our, you know, music journey. We never denied the gospel, and so being called to perform and sing at some of the places that we went, we never said, oh, well, we can't do this because it says God, we're not going to do this because it says Jesus. No denying. One of my favorite songs, He Took Away All the Pain, talking about God. We, you know, if we went to the Palladium, if we went to, you know, Paisley Park where Prince was, we've been to the White House and Lincoln Center and all those places, and we proudly stand up and sing, We Give You Thanks, or What Shall I Call Him, you know, some of the gospel tunes. So I love that about the group, that God is a part of who we are.
And
once a sound, always a sound. So that's why I'm still kind of saying who we are. Once you're in the family, you remain.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
And
well,
all
you know,
that traveling, sometimes you wake up. They had a commercial on once where a man said, "Good night, New York City," and he was in Washington. And that's what happens when you're out there on the road. you get in, you do a sound check, then you do the show, and then you go to bed and you go to another place before you can wake up in the middle of the night. And it's so funny. You're just always moving, going.
Yeah.
And sometimes you don't even get to see where you're at.
Well, that's
like, I'm here.
That, yeah, because people are like, "Oh, you've been to, you know, Boston, or you've been to," like, "I didn't see anything." Stuff the inside of where you in the hotel or the tour bus or the airport.
Right.
But
exactly.
You're absolutely right. Otherwise,
mm-hmm.
It's best not to call city names. It's just best to say, you know, "Love you. Glad everybody's here tonight. How y'all doing?" But when you start doing,
yeah,
"Hey Chicago, hey Atlanta, you know, hey Salt Lake City," you better have a big sign in front of you.
Right.
You know, it's the auditorium. Boy,
so
I'll tell you just one more thing I want to say about that. The walk from the dressing room to the stage sometimes could seem like a half a mile, huh?
Yes, it can. People have no idea what backstage looks like, especially if you're
right.
In places like Madison Square Garden. You know, it's
yeah.
Like almost like streets. It's like streets back there. It's not
yeah.
Just, you know, a small theater where you leave and go. It's just, and especially if you have heels on and, you know, that cement floors.
Oh,
and. But when we did the Luther tour, he, that song Love Power at the end, yeah, there's a humongous staircase. And so we did our opening set, then it was Sinbad, and then it was Luther. And at the end of Luther's set, he'd have us come back and sing Love Power with him. So we'd use these side steps to get like 100 feet in the air. And when we came in on the chorus, every time we rock, we're stepping down. And it was a staircase. I swear it had to be 30, 40 steps. And you talk about nervous every single night, "Lord, don't let me fall. Jesus, please don't let," you know? Trying to sing
yes.
A step and not look down. So when you're talking about difficulties in venues, you know, people have no idea what we go through or what's really going through our minds. How about that?
Yeah.
Well,
so you know,
you got to keep your faith at the same time.
Yeah,
pardon?
That's the thing. You kept your faith.
Amen.
And,
there was no option with that. Nothing worse. Nothing worse. No, I represent the King, and so at all
hallelujah.
To remember
right.
Yes.
Who you. Who you are and whose you are.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and you know I have a couple of songs here by you. One song is called "It's About Time." Tell us a little bit about that. How did that come about?
Wow, "It's About Time." I kind of started and sing with a multicultural, multi-ethnic worship band here in the Twin Cities, and the leader of that group, Dan Adler, phenomenal songwriter. He wrote that song, and we would sing it sometimes. And I always say, "Dan, I want to record this song." He's like, "Go right ahead." And it was pre-COVID, pre-George Floyd, you know, pre all of those recent things. And I did this song, and it really talks about us being the body, being the hands and the feet and the mouthpiece of Jesus. And that we're required to get outside of the four walls of the church because everybody's not trying to come in there. And if we're going to reach people and infect them and affect them, we have to go where they are. And so they might be standing
right.
On the corner.
That's right.
They might be in the grocery store. And, of course, we have to meet their needs because they're not going to have anything we say if they're hungry or if they're naked or if they're worried about where they're going to live. And so it's about engaging the community and just, you know, getting your feet wet, getting your hands dirty, and getting out there.
Right.
It's,
right.
it's really a clarion call to the church saying, hey, we got to wake up, singing and preaching to
right.
each other every Sunday in these four walls. If there's no visitors in our churches, then we got some work to do. I'm going to say that. We have some work to do. And so we might need to go out there and compel men and women to come. And so that's what
yeah.
this song is. I was blessed to work with Mighty, the gospel hip hopper. He created and did. There's a little rap on here, which is really new for me. but it came out a beautiful song, and I'm honored to you know that you would play it, share it, and I hope everyone that's listening loved it.
Okay. Well, here. Well, let's go ahead and play it. Here it is. It's about time.
There's a world of needy people, need to know why Jesus came. Broken homes and broken people, needing love in Jesus' name. Where his hands and where his feet, his body made of many parts. As we choose to work together, we can heal these wounded hearts.
It's about time to come together.
It's about time.
It's about time.
Jesus said to feed the hungry and to give the thirsty drink. When we serve the poor among us, we do more than what we think. Jesus said to house the homeless, clothe the naked, feed the poor, visit those who are in prison, for it's him we do it for.
It's about time to come together.
People should add together instead of trying to divide. We've been sitting here, but there's more people outside. We're in the light of the world, and it's time we let it shine. Darkness everywhere, some are losing their minds. So we put God in the songs, and we put God in the rhymes. It's time that we stand together, so get up on your feet and show people the love of Christ. That's what they want to see.
All right now. So who was that doing?
That
who was that rapping? Who was that rapping?
His name is Mighty the Gospel Hip Hopper. His name is Cornelius Owens, and he wrote it. And I called him Tuesday, Wednesday. He was there, ready to do the rap. He's phenomenal.
All right.
He's a phenomenal.
Praise
yeah,
the Lord.
Gospel hip hop.
That was a phenomenal message, Kim. Because it
yes.
is time to see
Beautiful.
The ministry of Christ. I want to
yes.
see it. That's what we're about. Let's see what Jesus did. These works and greater works.
Yeah.
I want to see that.
Right.
That's right.
It is
Amen.
About time. Yeah, that is
and,
a
and
right
there's,
on time.
There's a line in there that says, show people what God is all about. Some have skewed and twisted,
right?
You know, thoughts and perceptions of who God is and what God does, and it's time for us to show him who he really is and how much he loves them and how much he cares.
And there was a line in there to demonstrate his love, and that
yeah.
is powerful also. of how we're showing.
Yes.
Kudos to Dan Adler for that one.
Okay.
Good job.
Well,
yeah,
you co-wrote,
I love it.
Right. You sing a really good. Thank you so much.
Thank
for
you.
That message, because that you. Is true. It is about time, girl.
It is.
You know?
Even more so now than when I recorded it. So
yeah,
we,
really.
We have our work cut out for us. There's no time to sit down right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Not, and I live, no in Minnesota, I live in Minnesota. So in addition to COVID-19 and the pandemic and the quarantine, we've had Philando Castile, and we've dealt with a lot of racial things with Dante Wright and George Floyd, of course, and just so much going on in our city, and not just my city, but, you know, everywhere, school shooting. I mean, just every time you turn around, we have to stay prayerful. We absolutely have to stay prayerful and so that God can direct us what we...
Today, alone, they found 200 children in a sex traffic situation that they busted.
Wow.
Yes.
And in Texas. And I am so glad God is going through and breaking it down, hitting the gavel.
Yes, he is. And you know, we can be busy, but are we doing what he wants us to do? You know?
Say
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. That's important. That's important.
That's true.
Busy is not always productive.
Right.
You know,
right.
We want to do God's will. We want to do what he's calling us to do, each of us to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I started a nonprofit last year after the pandemic started, and God gave me in 2020 to create a project called the Grad Blessing Bag. As you know, there were no graduations, there were no open houses, and the grads that year, you know, they got they got their diploma in the mail and stay home, and schools are shut down. So we blessed 32 graduates with blessing bags, and the city and community came together, and we gave them gift cards and donated. And then last year, we did it again, and I decided that it was, we needed, well, I shouldn't say I decided, God allowed. And a lot of people said, we can donate better if we can get a tax receipt, charitable, you know, contribution. And so I started the Kimberly Brown Network, and the Grad Blessing Bags are a part of that. And so I just felt God was saying, bless these graduates, bless these young people, college and high school that are graduating. And this is not a program that's just for, you know, low-income, inner-city kids. This is a program for anyone that has accomplished, you know, receiving that degree or diploma. It's open to everyone, and we bless them. You know, whether they were going to college or the military, armed services, or just working, you know, it's like, hey, we just want to acknowledge what you did and celebrate you through this difficult situation. I can't imagine. Because when I was in school, I mean, I looked so forward to graduation. That was like one of the biggest, things ever. You know, getting your grad dress and your pictures and your parents coming. And, you know, I got to do the speech. And so, you know, the choir singing and just the whole school being there. I just can't imagine them saying, we're not going to have a graduation for the students that didn't get one. Virtual is not the same. You know, last year many were virtual, and then you just don't make it up. I hate to say it like that, but you don't. You know, you don't come back the next year. Now we're gonna have a big graduation. And people don't give the same. If they don't come to your open house, you know, they're giving you gifts, money, and stuff, and that's for your, you know, dormitory or going on. And you know, let's be real, it's a blessing to parents. The more we, you know, give and help those students, sheets and towels
and
you know, buying stuff. And so when they didn't have open houses, that just cut out a lot. And so I just felt like we need to bless them. And so
God bless you for having a heart to do that.
Yeah.
I'll be with you for that, having a heart to bless those kids like that. you know, their angel was always before God. So you're doing something for him, I'm sure it's written. You made a comment also. You said that we could be busy. And that is true. You know, a lot of people are doing a lot of things and even using Jesus as a brand. But it's those that are led by the Spirit of God. We have
That's
to be spirit-led, and especially in this hour, because we want to get the work done. We want to get done.
Yeah.
And I know that Jesus loved the babies. He loved the children.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants us to bless those kids. God wants those kids to have a healthy mind and a hope. These kids can't go around faithless because of all the things that adult decisions that they've made, you know, to deter them at this time. And I thank the Lord for people like you that are that know that, you know, and that's out there trying to help them. Because these kids need hope. You know, that whole thing drew a lot of kids into a suicidal mind. You know, it's like the devil
play
on that one.
And depression. I mean, if you can imagine
being so sure that brought joy.
You know? and you said the magic word, hope. I mean, even with the It's About Time song, Jesus is hope. He brings hope. He, he breathes life into dead situations. He, you know, makes dry bones live again, you know. And so we have to let the world know that there is hope. One of the songs my mom read the lyrics to is There Is Hope. And we just, we have to let them know that, that God is hope and God is love. And you are not alone.
Yeah. I think we,
you know, so.
We have another song that you sent that we want to play also.
Yeah. I like this one because it's like, it seems to be like a kind of something special that you're between you and the Lord. And it's called Sing
you know
to
what?
You.
So lead us into what you think it is. What was
I'll tell you this, and yet another Dan Adler, you know, amazing hit. Of all the songs, these two are two of my favorites. This, to me, is a love song to Jesus. It's a bossa nova style, you know, music, but the lyrics are to the Lord. They're gospel. They're from the heart. You're the water for my thirst. You're the breath that I breathe. You know, I sing to you, my Savior. And so I hope, again, that the listeners enjoy it. And if you don't know already, the last song you couldn't tell, but I'm a female tenor. And so this song is really well within my range. And I just love, I love how it came out. Put it like that.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Well, let's hear it. I sing to you. My Savior.
I sing to you, my Savior. I voice to sing.
Nice. Very nice.
You and you alone.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing your heart and your vocals and, you know, your love for the Lord like that. I wish we had more songs like that where people just opened up and, you know, I mean, from their heart and sang to the Lord.
Really from the
heart. When I heard it, it was just the most peaceful and comforting song. And again, I said, you know, I'd love to record this. And he said, go for it. And even recording it, I think I did it like in one take because it was just this realness, you know, even atmosphere in the studio that day. It was just peaceful. It was peaceful. It was like you and me, Lord.
Well, you know, wanted to ask you. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to ask, was the lyrics written by her or the guy that she was?
They were not. They were written by Dan, and I believe they were divinely inspired for me to sing.
Definitely.
Because I could not have written better lyrics. You're the water for my thirst, you know. you're the one I've waited for, you that I adore, only you. You know, could be the pardon for my sin and help me to begin again. So many wonderful things, and the gratitude and thanksgiving and appreciation and adoration that I have when you think about how good God is and has been in your life, and how the situation could have went another way. I mean, it just fills you with this gratefulness and this humbleness. That's what I feel. Even when I sing it today, it's just I get that feeling all over again. I'll put it like that. It doesn't go away.
It gives us that feeling too. Be thou glorified, great King. That's what it gives.
Right.
Amen.
Really beautiful.
Thank you.
So Kim, what's happening now? What's going on now? What are you doing now?
I'm glad you asked that. Can I say a little something before I answer that question, though? She just said more peaceful songs, more songs like that. And I didn't really have a stigma growing up or anything, but I've kind of, in the early days, felt like what I have, you know, the gift that I have and the way that I present what I do, I don't know if people really like it. I don't know how they'll receive me. I don't have a lot of range, so I'm not doing a lot of runs. And, I don't get, I say, over-emotional sometimes when I sing. It's this mellow, genuine gratitude, humbleness. Mm-hmm. And that spirit is me. You know, it's just my person and gift, and it's how I present. And I used to always feel like I need to do more. I got to do more. But as I grew, I learned you can't be anybody else. No need of trying to be like anybody else. And I don't know why I'm doing this way, but if somebody's listening, be the best you can be because God gave you that gift. And I thought, you know what? He already got a Yolanda Adams. He already has a, you know, Shirley Caesar. He already has a, he wants me to be Kimberly Brown, and now I can proudly, you know, say, well, this is my song, or this is what I do, and when you invite me to come, this is what I do, you know, this is who I am. Not try to change for crowds, or, you know, I always felt like people were saying, like, don't invite her because she's not going to really get them on this beat, or she's not going to really, and that used to kind of bother me growing up. And I just grew and started learning. I said, you know what? I'm going to use what God gave me. And I'm going to sing.
And that is so beautiful. I love that, Jim. I love that. Because a lot of people out there, they feel like they can't preach, teach, or sing or do things. Just be the best you. Let God anoint you. Once I went to a conference, and I promise you, this lady spoke above a whisper. You could barely hear her, but the anointing was on her so cold. The Holy Spirit had her so anointed that in that whisper, everybody was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. And that's what happens when you just stay under the Lord and don't worry about people and what they're doing and their style and the world style. Be under the Spirit of the Lord. Like I said, they that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God.
That's
the sons
right.
of God are peculiar. They're different. They're different. They're not the same.
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know what?
Okay,
you can't really stretch
we...
out in your gift until you get to that place. Until you get to that place.
Say that.
You can't really. I said you can't really stretch out in your gift until you get to that place of assurance that this is who I am. This is what God gave me, and I'm being obedient to Him. And sorry, I got up on a little tangent there, but I'm with Solar Records. I'm excited. UK, the label there had a song coming out called Get Up, Get Moving. I didn't get to tell you also with my nonprofit that last year I won the American Heart Association Empower to Serve Business Accelerator Grant for the Twin Cities, and I got a $15,000 award to build an app. It's called Get Up, Get Moving. No G on it. Move In. It's coming out this summer around top of July. It is going to be a free app. I really, really started kind of with the church crowd. My dad's a pastor. He's on dialysis now, but he's doing well. But back when he was in his 30s and 40s, he got on high blood pressure medicine, and that led to enlarged heart, which led to some kidney trouble. One thing led to another, you know, and had he dropped maybe 20 pounds back then, it would have really changed his life. And so I started feeling like it and seeing all around me early death, early diagnosis, diabetes, stroke, heart attack, high blood pressure. You name it. And in the church, we love to eat. Everything is food, breakfast, brunch, banquet, potluck, picnic.
Right.
And we're still doing soul food, you know, sweet potato, fried chicken. We're still doing it. And I know it's a hard habit to break. And myself, I've, you know, dealt with trying to get this little extra weight off kind of thing. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says, walk every day, cut this. And you have every desire to do that. But when you leave, nobody really shows you how and how to deal with keeping that commitment and all of those things. And so I've created an app for people living sedentary lifestyles, just don't exercise, they don't walk, they don't go to the gym, they don't do anything, but they're busy or mobility issues or arthritis. This app is going to help them, and we're going to start very small because small changes make big wins. 2 minutes a day, 30 seconds. This is a 30-second exercise. You can lift your arms or lift your legs or walk in place. We're going to get you up to 5 minutes a day. There's some 30-minute challenges. I'm sorry, some 30-day challenges. So the first challenge, the bronze one, 0 to 5 minutes, and then we're going to take you like 5 to 15 minutes and then 15 to 25. But when you're done with the 90 days, we should have you very close to 30 minutes a day. But if you don't hit 30 minutes a day, 20 minutes is better than nothing, you know.
Yeah.
Fried food twice a week is better than 8 times a week. So the goal is to help them do better, to help them get healthier, not even just about weight, but just to help them become more active and make better choices and not feel like they're alone, not feel like you got to have a lot of money. There's a lot of programs that are hundreds of dollars a month to get the meals or to get the support. This is going to cost you absolutely zero, and I am just committed to offering this to anybody that needs the support and wants to help the help to live a better, healthier, longer life.
Okay,
praise the Lord.
Get moving.
You know, yes, and you know, I hate to be the party pooper here, but we have run out of time, so. Kimberly, you're going to have to come back and tell us a little bit more about the things that you're doing.
To.
And In the meantime, thank you for being a part of Christian Talk. I'd like to thank all of our listeners that have tuned in. I pray that you all have been very blessed. And, I guess this is it. We will see you next week. Everybody,
yes,
be blessed.
And you can
thank
find
you.
Me on social media, on any of the platforms under Kimberly Brown Music.
Okay.
All right.
God bless
Kimberly
you,
Brown
too.
Music. All right. God bless
thank
you guys.
Thank you, too, and God bless
bye-bye.
You so much. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.